Respirons. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your compassions and kindness toward us. Thank you for defending us in the battles of life. Thank you for helping us in our helplessness. Thank you, Lord, for your strength that is sustaining us. Thank you for doing great miracles in our lives and situations, so that your name can be honored in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for great plans you have for us and for your determination to fulfill those plans. We thank you for drawing us closer unto yourself by your Spirit that dwells in us. Thank you for divine revelations and insight you have opened our eyes to see. Thank you for divine restoration we are experiencing right now. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to obey the truth so that we can remain in freedom. As it is written in your word, that we shall know the truth, that the truth shall make us free. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to obey the truth after knowing the truth. Thank you for helping us to embrace the truth, to stand in the truth after you have shown us the truth. I ask that as we would be having another teaching session in your presence this evening, O Lord, speak to everyone. Minister to every heart. Enforce your will to prevail in every life. Glorify yourself in this place and let your name be forever praised. Thank you, Lord, for we know you are going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue from where we stopped. We have been looking at a broad topic for some weeks now. We have been looking at a broad topic that says the Christian's relationship to society, the Christian's relationship to society, and we are now in point number 6. We just finished with point number 5 that says cautions against compromising with the world. So now we are moving to point number 6, which says the importance of an honest, sincere example the example of a Christian in the society. That's what it means. You can also call it the importance of being an honest, sincere example of a believer, of a Christian in the earth, in the society. So under this point 6, we have point A, which is what we are looking at today. Point A says, be a good example of a Christian. Good example. Example of a Christian. Now, by good example, we mean, or we imply that there are bad examples. Okay. Bad examples of Christians. Okay. Examples of preachers. Men of God, servants of God out there, bad examples of Christian workers, bad examples of pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, ministers of God, gospel artists or gospel singers. Yeah, so we have bad examples out there, and it has always been like this, even since the Old Testament days. There have always been bad examples of God's children, or how should I say it? There have always been bad examples of Israelites in the Old Testament. This, in fact, there were false prophets in those days as well. So we should expect the same and even more in these last days. That is, we should expect more bad examples of Christians, of ministers of God in these last days. Why? Because the Bible says that things will become worse and worse in these last days. Have you read that in your Bible before? That things will become worse and worse in these last days. Let me show you. Worse and worse. Persecution of the world. Have become worse and worse. Okay, in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and Now, who are seducers? Seducers are, or maybe I should say, a seducer is someone that uses what people like to lure them into sin. That is what it means to seduce. To use what people naturally like, what the human nature naturally craves for, to use it as a trap, to lure people, to draw people into sin. That is what seduction is all about. Using what people naturally crave for because of the Adamic nature that is in them to draw them into sin. Yeah, like we have sexual seductions. People taking advantage of the fact that the human nature craves for sex or for sexual pleasures, or for sexual satisfaction. So, taking advantage of that to lure people into sexual sins is seduction. I mean, is sexual seduction. So there are different kinds of seduction. Yeah, we also have prophetic seduction. Prophetic seduction, that is taking advantage of the desire in people to experience the supernatural. Yeah, taking advantage of the desire in human beings to have connection with the supernatural or with the spiritual realms, to lure them into sin or to manipulate them, to control them, to make them do what is contrary to the will of God. So that is prophetic seduction. Yeah, since many people like to have a taste of the spiritual world. Yeah, many people like to receive messages from the spiritual realms. Yeah, they want to know what God in quote is saying about them. Yeah. So they want to hear prophecies that will tell them their future is bright. Prophecies that will tell them secret things about their lives that nobody knows about. They want to hear prophecies that will tell them what is going to happen in the future. Yeah. So people have this natural craving for the supernatural. And there are a lot of agents of Satan out there who are ready to take advantage of that craving. There is in people to lure them into deep darkness. So those agents of darkness are also seducers. Only that they are prophetically seducing people. Yeah, like if I talk about angels, now everybody wants to see angels. Everybody wants to know how angels look like and all of that. So taking advantage of the things in the invisible realms. Or let me put it this way, taking advantage of the desire in people to encounter the invisible realms, the spiritual realms, in order to exploit those people, or lure them, or control them, or manipulate them to do what is contrary to the will of God, is called prophetic deduction. Yeah, so according to where we have read, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Shall wax worse and worse. And deceiving and being deceived. So they keep deceiving others, whereas they also are being deceived. So the powers of darkness, they are serving and deceiving them. The demons, they are worshipping and deceiving them. Even while they also are deceiving others. Yeah, so we should expect bad examples of Christians and ministers in these last days. So don't be surprised when you see a lot of these evil men increasing in number, and a lot of seducers increasing in number and waxing worse and worse. Don't be surprised. The Bible already told us they would come, and that they would grow worse and worse, or maybe I should use the word, they would prosper in their wickedness. The Bible already told us about those people. So don't be surprised when you see them. But here's the point. This is where we are going in today's teaching. God wants you to be a good example. Though there are bad examples out there, but God wants us to be good examples. So when you see bad examples, take it as a challenge to be a good example, so that your own goodness can overthrow the bad examples out there. So that your own goodness can overrule the evil going on out there. Yeah, I don't know if I've told you this before. I think I've mentioned it before. Some years back, I was talking to someone. I was talking to a brother in Europe. And he was telling me his experience with false prophets, false pastors. And I was telling him that that is not difficult to become a false prophet. That it's very easy to become a false prophet. And I even told him that I would have become a false prophet. Or maybe I should put it this way, that if I want to become a false prophet, it is so easy for me to become false. Yeah, because there's just a very thin line separating light and darkness. It's a very thin line separating good and evil. to become healed is not hard, and it doesn't take a long time. It can happen within a microsecond. It can happen in less than a second to become healed, to become false. Yeah, so I was telling the brother that anybody can be false. And it doesn't take time at all to become false. Yeah. And I was telling him why I chose to be different. Yeah. I told him that God exposed me to a lot of things in darkness. God made me to see a lot in darkness, to fight a lot in darkness. God exposed me to a lot of secret in darkness, and of course a lot of attack, slavery and oppression, captivity in darkness. Yeah. And God now makes me to realize what is making darkness stronger than human beings. And God make me realize what is making darkness more stronger or more powerful than human beings. Yeah. And He also made me to realize that to overcome darkness is to overcome what is making them stronger than human beings. Yeah. So, and what is that thing that is making darkness, the kingdom of darkness, the realms of darkness, to be stronger than man? We both know that thing. That is sin. Sin. And the flesh. Yeah. Sin. Self. And flesh. Yeah, those are the things that is making Satan and the kingdoms of darkness and witchcraft and everything that you can mention in darkness. Those three things are what is making darkness and everything in darkness stronger than humans. Yeah. So God made me to see all of that. In the space of some years, I was able to see a lot in darkness. Yeah. So God now tell me to make a choice. Yeah. Do I want to serve darkness? Or do I want to remain a slave in darkness? Or do I want to remain in victory over darkness? Yeah. A reasonable person who is not foolish, having tasted the pains and sufferings and activities and affliction in darkness, will not choose to remain a slave to darkness. Yeah. So, having seen all that is in darkness, I spoke to myself. made a decision. I made a covenant with myself that I will live the rest of my life on earth, conquering darkness, ruling over darkness. Yeah, I made a covenant with my soul that I would never embrace darkness. Yeah, because God made me to see how many Christians are in darkness. Because they are in sin, they are in the flesh, and they are being controlled by self and not by the Holy Spirit. So God made me to see how many churches, ministries are in darkness. Yeah, because they have embraced sin, carnality, flesh, and they have embraced a self-centered life. Yeah, not a selfless life. So you now tell me to make a choice. Yeah, because I'm not a fool. I made the right choice. Because only a fool would have suffered in darkness and still want to remain in darkness. Still want to remain a slave to darkness. Yeah, so I made the right choice. And I made a covenant with my heart that for the rest of my life on earth, I will not be afraid with darkness. I will believe over all darkness, that I will live in dominion over darkness, in victory over darkness. So if you ask me, why am I different from the false prophet out there? Why do I decide, why am I not, how do I say it in English? Why am I not following the same path the false prophets are following? Why am I different from them? Yeah, it's because I hate darkness. Or maybe I should say it like this. Because I know darkness. And I hate darkness. Yeah. Because of those three things, I know darkness, I hate darkness, and I'm at war with them. Now, so everything that has to do with darkness, I know. Yeah. So if you ask me, why do you talk about holiness so much? Why do you talk about living a pure life? Because I know darkness and I hate darkness and I'm at war with darkness. So I know that living in sin is equal to defeat against darkness. I know that living in sin means I have lost my battle against darkness. I know that living in the flesh walking in the flesh and not in the spirit means I have lost my battle against the darkness. So I know what I am up against. So some people think, I'm standing for holiness because I want to impress some people. I mean, because I want to impress them. Or because I want to prove to them that I'm not false. I don't care whether you see me as a true prophet or not. Yeah, I don't care your testimony about me, whether I'm a genuine man of God or I'm not genuine. I don't care about your testimony. Yeah, I'm not living holy because I want to prove to you that I am. I'm a true servant of God. No. I know what I am up against. I know the darkness that is in this world. I know the evil that is in this world. And I'm at war with them. So I know what to touch, what not to touch. I know what to do, what not to do. Yeah. Some men will say, I'm not into adultery because I don't want to cheat on my wife because I love my wife so much. That is foolishness. Yeah. Why should your wife be the reason for not going into adultery? Why should your wife or your husband, because you don't want to cheat on him, why should that be the reason for not going into adultery? Because you love your spouse. That is wrong. The first reason, or what should be the reason, is because you don't want to sin against your Creator, your God. Not because you love your spouse. If you know the darkness that is after your soul, you would not be saying it's because of my spouse, because I care about him. That's why I don't want to cheat on him. It means you are not a Christian in the first place. You should not commit adultery because of God. Not because of any man. Yeah. Of course, you should love your spouse, but that shouldn't be the reason why you are keeping yourself pure. The reason why you should keep yourself pure is because you want to please your Creator. Because you hate darkness. Because you hate sin. Because you want to please your God. That should be the reason why you keep yourself pure. Yeah. Not because, if my spouse gets to know, there will be trouble. I don't want my marriage to scatter. All those things is not Christian at all. Yeah. All those kind of mindsets is not Christian. It's not Christian mindset. I pray that the Lord will give you wisdom. So now we are going to look at some more scripture verse. And I think there's another place that talks about evil multiplying in these last days. Okay, I think it's the same verse I just read. So now let's move to let us move to another scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Now, for the sake of those of you that newly joined, our topic says, be a good example of a Christian. A good example of a Christian. So let us read Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. Your light to shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be a good example of a Christian, of a believer. How? By letting your light so shine before men. We talked about this last week as well, about shining your light. So let your light so shine before men. Let everyone see your good works. Stop hiding who you are in Christ. If you are hiding who you are, then maybe you are not yet a Christian. Why should you hide who you are and what you stand for? Why should you hide that you are a child of God? Some people, they can't even say it in the public among their friends that they are Christians. Then I don't think they are. Yeah, if you cannot show it in the public that you are a child of God, then where else do you want to show it? Yeah, where else do you want to show it? If you cannot show it in your place of work that you are a Christian, or maybe you still have some attitude, some habit, some character that is contrary to the body of a real Christian. Maybe that's why you're not showing your identity in Christ in the public. So why should you hide your light? Yeah, I've told you before that this ministry started because I could not hide that I am a Christian. Yeah. I didn't join the internet. Because I wanted to start a ministry. I just felt, let me check what is going on the internet, on social media platforms. Yeah, let me see if, if I can make friends with some Christians, and if we can share the word of God together. So I was looking for some Christian groups on Facebook. I joined, and then I began to share the things that I have personally learned from the Lord. things I have learned from the scriptures. So I began to share it with the people I saw in those groups. Yeah, because it was an open platform. Anyone can share anything that they know about God, about God's kingdom. Yeah, so I just start sharing the things that I know. And to my surprise, everyone were like, wow, we have not had that type, we have not had anyone teach the Bible like this before. Yeah, everyone was like, wow, this is so powerful. So I was like, what is so special in the things I'm sharing with these people? Because these are the things I have learned personally from God, from the Holy Spirit. So I was like, what is so new in this that people are excited about? So I felt, well, if this thing is helping these people, let me continue. I continue to share the word of God with them. I continued, and that was why I started having more people wanting to become my friends. More people following me. And that was how this ministry came into being. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with hearing what you have learned, everything you have learned about God, about Jesus, about God's kingdom. There's nothing wrong with sharing them with others. In fact, that is evangelism. That is what evangelism is all about. And that is what edification is all about. Edify one another in the church as Christians, as brethren. Yeah. So we become good examples by shining the light that we have. Shine the light that you have. Except you are not sure of what you have. I guess that's where the problem is with many Christians of these last days. They are not even sure of what they have. That's why they are afraid to share it. If you are sure of what you have, then share it with the world. There's no rule that says you should not share. You don't have to become a pastor. You don't have to have any title. When I was sharing the word of God, I had no title. In fact, I don't want title. All I want is I want people to know what I know. I want people to taste what I have tasted. Because what I have tasted is real. Because what I know is real. Because what I have is real. So I want them to also taste the same. That was why I kept on shining the light. I kept on sharing with the world what I have. Yeah. So what is your problem? Why is it so difficult for you to shine the light that you have? Praise the Lord. The nipple is really not good. Yeah, the nipple is really bad. Yeah, I hope you can all hear me right now. Yeah, let me continue. As I was saying, shining your light is part of how we win against the darkness in these last days. Shining our light is a spiritual warfare strategy. Is a weapon on its own. Shining your light. So don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't be silent. Speak out. Spread your light. Speak out the truth. Preach the truth. Preach the truth. You don't need a formal setup to do this thing. When I say formal setup, you don't need to have to stand behind the pulpit to do it. You don't need to create a building of you don't need to build a very big cathedral, a very big church building, and then start inviting people to come into that church and listen to you. You don't need all of that. Yeah, it's very easy to shine the light. So you don't need any formal setup to do that. It's so easy to shine the light. Like, just the way the sun in the sky is shining. The sun just shine. Yeah, the sun doesn't need some kind of technology to supply everything on earth with brightness, with heat, with light. The sun doesn't need any technology. The sun just shine naturally. So you don't need some kind of special setup. Some people will say, let us organize special program. Let's do it this way. Well, if the Holy Spirit is leading you like that, fine. But you don't need to organize any special thing or special that, special this one, special that one. You don't need any special approach. Just shine naturally anywhere you find yourself. Just shine the light. Speak the word. You find yourself on the street. Shine the light. In fact, you don't even have to start. I've said it before. You don't have to start by telling the people, I want to preach to you right now. Even in the conversation you have with people, shine the light in the conversation. Yeah, when in the conversation you notice that something dark, something sinful is being exalted or glorified, shine your light immediately and let the person know that, oh, this is not right. According to the scriptures, this is wrong. This is not supposed to be done like this. This is how it's supposed to be done. Yeah, so you don't need to say, my sister, I want to preach to you right now. So I want you to listen to me. You don't need all of those formalities. Don't shine your light naturally. Yeah, because light and darkness, they are inside everything we do on daily basis. Light and darkness, they are inside everything we do on daily basis. In your place of work, light and darkness is there, fighting each other. Every time you talk with someone, light and darkness is there, fighting each other. In your mind, light and darkness is there, fighting each other. Yeah, so light and darkness is in everything that we do on daily basis. So to shine your light, just speak to the light and promote it. So right and wrong is always fighting each other in everything going on in the world. So you just stick to the right and keep promoting it. Yeah, it's so simple to shine your light. Yeah, but maybe you're afraid. If I say this now, I don't know what you start talking about. Then you're not ready to please God, and which means you're not ready to make heaven. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will help you. So be ready to shine your light. Even inside your family, in your home, when you are relating with your parents or spouse or children or friends or siblings or grandchildren, shine your light. Let everyone in your family know what you stand for. Let them know who you are. You see one dressed in the wrong way and you just overlook, and the person is living inside your house. A family member, a female, is dressing seductively, and the person is staying inside your house, and then you just overlook. That is wrong. You don't overlook things like that. You shine the light immediately, because that is darkness. Yeah. That is darkness in your house. That is darkness in your house. You correct it immediately. You tell the person, if you still want to stay here, you dress well. If you can't dress well, you can't stay here. Yeah. Or your children are using the TV, the television, to watch things that is contrary to the will of God, things that is dark, sinful, you stop them. Because that is darkness in your house. Yeah. I know many Christians, they just take things like simple things like this so lightly. And then you pray and pray and you don't see results. How will you see results? When you have opened portals of darkness inside your house through the television, even through your mobile phones, your smartphones, you can open portals of darkness. You can open portals of darkness. in your house, in your life, through your mobile phones. Just the way you can open through your computers and through the TV. Yeah, so shine your light everywhere. Shine your light everywhere. Yeah, and that is how you will win. If you give any small room for darkness, you are in trouble. Yeah, because that little permission you have given to darkness is enough for them to do what they have always wanted to do in your life. I pray that you will be wise. In Jesus' name. Let's look at another scripture. There are many scriptures we will look at. So I'll be fast because of